sounds good. Forget, I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, October 3rd, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Bill Clinton, do you like him or not? Well, you know, I've had John Hankey for most, for what most of you know, I've had John Hankey up on my show several times here during the last month or so, and it seems that John Hankey's a little bit sympathetic towards Bill Clinton, and even when has said in past shows that the drug trade, I believe, went down in Los Angeles or in the L.A. area where he is from during the Clinton administration. And I know I had done some research on Bill Clinton about a year ago, and I put it on the back burner. I really didn't pay much attention to it. And then this has popped up here, and in the course of the interviews I've been having with John Hankey, Clinton's name seems to keep surfacing. And so we decided that, oh, and by the way, I've gotten a lot of emails regarding this subject, so I've decided to have the Clinton debate today. So I went back in, I scrounged around, and I started digging up some of the folders, the documents, and so forth that I had researched back during the time when I was looking at this. And I'm going to go over that. But I'm going to take this from the standpoint, folks, that John Hankey maybe in his perception is a little bit naive. However, that being said, I want to mention to you that this this debate may get a little bit passionate, if you will. Now, the first hour, we're just going to discuss different subject matters. I'm going to toss a few things at him, and I'm sure he's going to toss a few things back at me. In the second hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines, and then I'll let some input come in from you guys, and we'll just see what happens here. In the meantime, I want to make a quick announcement. Don't forget, if you haven't already purchased some gold or silver, call Robbie Noel. Tell him I told you to call. Okay, 800-691-7898. If you've got cash, CDs, stocks, and bonds, whatever that you would like to convert into gold, don't hesitate to give Robbie Noel a call. He's the best. He's the most reasonable in the business, folks, and I know that from experience. So, again, tell him I told you to call. Also, if you haven't already, make sure you tune in to James Martinez and John Stadtmiller's show Cash Flow, which comes on just before me. A lot of interesting information there as far as protection goes from your credit card debt and how to alleviate that. And speaking of protection, I've got a gentleman coming on first hour tomorrow, John Onesti, Onesti Investment Advisors, and he'll be on for the first hour. He's going to give us some tips on how to protect our assets. So that should be a good show. The second hour tomorrow, I have Mark Weber coming on. Now, Mark Weber is the editor of the Institute for Historical Review. I think I might have mentioned it was the International Institute. It's the Institute for Historical Review. And I'm going to talk to Mark second hour tomorrow regarding the Holocaust, because I've got a lot of emails from the listening audience regarding the research that John Hankey has done on the Holocaust. So I'm going to have Mark Weber up. I'm going to get a different opinion of it. And it's possible. Now, Mark Weber has already agreed to come on the air with John Hankey and discuss these issues with him. I haven't talked to John about it yet, but I'm going to, and we'll see if we can get these two up and toss their evidence out on the table and see what comes of that. So it should be very interesting as we go through this. Now, John will be up after the break, and we'll get started with this. Stick with me. It's going to be a great show today. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stay tuned for the Clinton debate.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And let's just see, do we have John Hankey on the line?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
I'm great. I'll have to do it in any case.
You what?
I'm doing fine.
What's the matter?
Oh, no, everything's great. Everything's great. My wife's handling my daughter.
Let me start this. Now, today's the Clinton debate, John.
That's the plan.
Let me ask you a couple things. First of all, I've detected in previous shows that you are a little bit, with all due respect to you, a little bit sympathetic towards Bill Clinton, and that's okay. Is that right?
Let me say that I am a very, very, very enthusiastic skeptic of his detractors.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm not prepared to endorse him or her, but I do think that, you know, my expertise is in the Kennedy assassination, and I can't resist the notion that if you put Bill Clinton into John Kennedy's shoes, that they seem very similar in a lot of ways, and we'll talk about that, right?
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Did you watch the video, The Clinton Chronicles?
No. Nobody sent me a link for it. I watched Bill Clinton, His Life.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that?
No, I believe I have posted on my website The Clinton Chronicles, but what I'm going to do,
all right,
I'll tell you what, you know, for the last few shows, You've been providing us with an immense amount of information, and I appreciate that. But today we're going to reverse it a little bit, and I'm going to kind of take the lead here, and I'm going to basically, you know, go over some stuff with you, and then allow you to respond to it. Okay, in whatever way you wish. That's
We should have spoken because I'm prepared. What I was going to ask is that you give me the first hour, and that. And then we go on from there. But
okay, what I had intended, yeah, you're right. What I had intended to do was do this for an hour and then open up the phone lines. We can open up the phone line second hour and intersperse them.
Oh.
But I'll tell you what, I'll give you the floor. You go ahead, and if you've got something prepared that's going to take the first hour, yeah, knock yourself out. Go for it. Okay, it's your show. Go ahead.
Well, I don't mean to be unaccommodating, and I think that your audience is very familiar with the stuff that you have to present. No. And I did. I watched that video. It's very well. What they call the production values of it are very well done. It seems like the people who had it had considerable resources at their disposal. But I wanted to try to lay some groundwork and for trying to evaluate all of this stuff. And what I wanted to start off talking about is the fact that. You know, Vincent Bugliosi, or maybe you don't, and maybe your audience isn't familiar, but there's a guy who was a DA in Los Angeles named Vincent Bugliosi, who very, very recently wrote a 1,600-page book, 1,600 pages, and of course it was reviewed glowingly by all of the major media about how wonderful it is in its presentation of the conclusive evidence that Oswald was the only assassin of John Kennedy, that he was a lone nut. And, I mean, I'd like people in your audience to take a step back and look at that for a minute and evaluate for what it means that you can put together you can put 1,600 pages of a powerful argument together proving the opposite of the truth, right, proving that black is white and proving that Oswald acted alone, but that you can't do that. If you take a broader picture, right, if you start taking in all of the evidence and you start looking at Kennedy's policy with the Fed and you start looking at Kennedy's policy towards the war in Vietnam and you start looking at, and then you take in the Zapruder film and then you just get a little bit critical and look at just a few details. But, for example, Bugliosi, I saw him interviewed several times, and one of his big things was he liked to talk about how much evidence there's. Just there's so much evidence indicating that Oswald was guilty that you'd have to be insane to suggest that he wasn't guilty. And nobody bothers to point out to him that, well, maybe the reason that there's so much evidence is because you've had an army of people planting it and creating it since months before the crime was committed on the one hand. And on the other hand, he starts talking about the rifle. And, well, just with the first piece of evidence down the chute, with the rifle, the first two Dallas police officers who ran to the sixth floor and who picked up a rifle and turned it over to their authorities were both, you know, being policemen, rather expert. But the one guy that I have on DVD talking about it says that, well, you didn't have to be expert because it said Mauser on it in big letters. The guy he was with owned a sporting goods store and was very expert and recognized it as a Mauser from a distance, but they both walked up and picked it up and read the stamp on the barrel, Mauser, in giant letters. Well, Oswald's rifle was a Mannlicher Carcano. It was not a Mauser. It was an Italian rifle, not a German rifle, and on and on and on. The point is that all I'm trying to preach today is in fierce skepticism and for people to take a bigger look at the bigger picture. And I think when you look... I'm sorry?
I was going to say that's fine.
And, okay, of course.
I believe that I have, but go ahead, continue.
Yeah, no. Well, let's take another one, another All crack right. at this bigger picture. I think that the big picture that people are constantly sending me emails to try to get me to absorb, including the link for this movie I was talking about, Bill Clinton, a biography, is that Clinton and Bush are the same people, that they represent the same people, that they work for the same people, and that they are pulled, that they are puppets of the same people. And
I'll give you that. That's true. Go ahead.
That's the big picture that I'm being asked to swallow, and I'm afraid there's a couple of points I'm going to make on that score, one of them having to do with the economy and the other one having to do with the war on drugs. And from my perspective, the opposite of what I observe. Let me make an observation. In the movie that I watched, they talk about Clinton's his passing of legislation founding the ADFA. I don't remember what that stands for, but it was, the movie says, and I put it in quotes, that it was to ease financing for small business and low income. And then it makes the point that that Clinton had business associates and contributors to his campaign who profited off of that. But, you know, I'd like people to take a step back and say, well, look, this is a program to help small businesses and to help people without financing to get it so that they can purchase housing. And I don't know who's in your audience, but I find that something that's very, very difficult to criticize. And, you know, obviously any politician who's in office is there because people are, somebody is profiting from his policies. And you either have policies, for example, Blackwater loves the Bush. The Blackwater budget, I was listening to this on the radio yesterday, that has gone from 200,000 to over a billion.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Have you ever heard the name Larry Nichols?
Probably, but I couldn't tell you who he is and what it is.
Okay. But Larry Nichols was the former director of marketing for the Arkansas Development.
No. I don't want to go there right now. Okay? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I don't want to get into those details.
Excuse me, but this is a Clinton debate today.
No, I understand.
I really don't want to hear, and my audience doesn't want to hear a lot about the Carcano rifle and the Mauser and all that stuff. Okay?
No.
We're going to do Clinton today. Okay.
Yeah.
And you brought up ADFA.
Give me an hour.
Larry Nichols.
Give me the first hour.
Go ahead.
And then you bring up Larry Nichols. Okay. But in the first hour, I'm going to bring up a lot of stuff. One of the things I'd like to bring up is the fact that Clinton balanced the budget. And that in doing that, and I don't think people in your audience are probably aware of this in the least, in doing that, he made the U.S. dollar so strong internationally that in 2000, the Canadian dollar was 60 cents. And in 2000, the euro was 80 cents to the dollar. And that is 80 American dollars to 1 euro and 60 can, right, and it would end 60 American cents would buy you one Canadian dollar. Eight tenths of a euro and six tenths of a Canadian dollar. Now the Canadian dollar is even, so that it's picked up 40%, and the euro is now trading at 140. Which is, it's certainly not 60%, but it's very close to 50%. As a result of that, we're paying double the price of gasoline. I don't think that's an exaggeration from what we were when Clinton was in office. When the price that you pay when you go to buy gasoline, you now have to compete, right, in a world market. You have to bid against people whose dollars have increased by 50%, whose currency has increased by 50%, so that when you're trying to buy oil or you're trying to buy wheat or you're trying to buy corn or you're trying to buy a Honda or you're trying to buy a Toyota or, you know, whatever it is that's imported or that's on the world market, you have to compete against these guys, and their money's more valuable than ours. And Bush's friends are invested in military industries and the Saudis, right? His friends and family, including the Saudis and the billionaires in this country, or the multi-billionaires, the mega-billionaires, and they're invested in euros and they're invested in foreign real estate and so on. And the point is that there has been an exchange, right? When Clinton was in, he balanced the budget by taxing the billionaires. And since he's gotten out, there has been an exchange of money out of our pockets and into the pockets of these mega billionaires that amounts to hundreds of billions of dollars, right? I mean, if you figure, right, that we have lost 50% of the value of the dollar, you figure how much the dollars in your pockets, and multiply that times 350 million and the value of the dollars in everybody else's pockets who don't have foreign investments. If you don't have foreign investments, you have lost 50% of what you're worth. And how many hundred billions of dollars is that worth? And who has it gone to? And, you know, well, it's gone to Canadians. It's gone to Europeans generally. But why did Bush do it? I mean, is it because he's a stupid moron, or is it because his friends are invested in? And, you know, I've read this from people that you and I probably both know and agree with in the main, that that's the people that Bush serves, and that they're trying to ruin the economy, and that when the U.S. economy is totally in the toilet, they'll come in and buy things up for pennies on the dollar. While Bush has been president, the number of people without health insurance has doubled. The Clintons tried to eliminate people without health insurance, and Clinton's trying to do that now, and we'll come back after the...
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
From Phoenix, Arizona. We're doing the Clinton debate today with John Hankey. John's got the first hour, so John, go ahead and continue.
Okay. I was going to mention that I think this was in Alex Jones's one of his videos that he talks about how after Oklahoma City that there was evidence, as there was evidence against Oswald and linking Oswald to Cuba, there was evidence that was running around indicating that the Iraqis were involved in Oklahoma City. Now, I think most of the people in your audience think that Oklahoma City was a federal operation. Well, the assassination of John Kennedy was a federal operation, but I don't think that you can pin John Kennedy's assassination on his administration. I don't think he was guilty of his own assassination, and I'm not under the impression that Bill Clinton was behind Oklahoma City, although elements of the federal government were behind Oklahoma City as they were behind the assassination of John Kennedy. My point being that I believe that Clinton was under pressure to blame the Iraqis, that he was given the opportunity and this planted evidence to blame the Iraqis, and he didn't go for it. I wanted to talk about drugs. I see that as being a really huge issue, but let me stop for just a second before launching into that and say that when I was a kid, I'm reminded of reading a cartoon in Mad Magazine where they show these people sitting in an audience talking about how people are so easily manipulated and how their feelings are manipulated and their points of view are so easily twisted. And the view turns, it was from the back and they were just in silhouette, and then it turns in the front, and you see that they're a family of Native Americans, and the kids are yelling, "Yeah, kill the dirty Redskins." And I guess on the screen, you when you were seeing it from the back, that right, it was cowboys and Indians fighting. And the point is that you can get people to root against their own best interests. And that's my observation, is that when I hear the rabid, you know, the hatred in people's voices attacking the Clintons for making their houses worth hundreds of thousands of dollars more than they would have been otherwise, when I hear people attacking them for trying to provide people with health insurance, it makes me feel like people have been won to rooting against their own best interests. But let me now talk about some of the more basic stuff, to, you know, the stuff that's in my gut, right, where my passion comes from. And it has to do with this topic of drugs. I sent you an article from the LA Times about Freeway Ricky Ross. And, I live in Los Angeles, and the drug wars in Los Angeles used to kill 10,000 people a year. And the casualties from in the inner cities from the drug wars have been reduced from 10,000 to 1,000. They've gone down by 90%. And, you know, I was teaching high school in Watts, in the poorest, financially, the poorest neighborhood and in Los Angeles. I mean, that's what the school board says. And, you know, these were my students who were very, very, very directly affected by this stuff. Any number of them lived in families that had been destroyed by the crack epidemic. And also I lost a good number of students who died as a result of this. And so, you know, some of these were kids who were very, very close to me that I had very, very warm feelings about. And so it's something that I take very, very personally when I'm talking about the drug wars. But anyhow, there's this article about Freeway Ricky Ross. And I guess I'll get through it more quickly. I mean, I had sort of planned to spend 2 hours dealing with this article at some time in the future, but we won't do that. We'll just sort of breeze through it today. And the article says is that Ricky Ross they call him the kingpin. The LA Times calls him the kingpin of drug trafficking in Los Angeles. He was dealing tons of cocaine in the course of a couple of months. He would handle a ton of cocaine. And he got busted, and he got put in prison, and he got sentenced to life. And then he saw what had happened to his supplier. And he filed an appeal, and he said, wait a minute. I say that it's very clear from the evidence that my supplier was working for the CIA. And if he was working for the CIA and his job for the CIA was to supply me with cocaine, then I was working for the CIA, right? Even if I wasn't on their payroll, I was carrying out government policy. And this is under the administration of George Bush Sr. that this stuff was going on. And so he sued, and he was able, and Gary Webb has come up in our conversations a couple of times, and we could spend quite a bit of time talking about him. He committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. He wrote an 800-page book on Ricky Ross and the CIA and George Bush and Oliver North. And Ricky Ross's supplier was a guy named Danilo Blandón. And, you know, maybe I should say that name several times because it's one that I would like people to take with them. Danilo Blandón was his supplier, and what happened is that Ross won his appeal. Blandón was Ross's supplier, and he's supplying him with tons of cocaine in a single shipment, right? He's going to drive up with a truck that has a ton of cocaine in it.
Okay, John, let me stop you. I just got a note here. It says 45 seconds to break. That was 30 seconds ago, and I hear no music.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. She's saying now, not yet. So I guess go ahead and keep talking.
All right. he got a chance to put INS P people on the stand, and we'll talk about what came out in this trial and what came out in the testimony on the stand and the significance of it.
All right, very good. We'll take a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, John Hanke, talking about the Clinton debate here. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. We're in the Clinton debate, and John Hanke's got the floor of the first hour, so go ahead and continue, John.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Michael. We're talking about MENA. That's the backdrop for this discussion, but we're talking about the drug trade, and we're talking about an article that I asked Michael to post on the website about Ricky Ross, who was the major drug dealer in Los Angeles, and Ross was dealing tons of crack cocaine, and he got arrested, and he's sitting there rotting in jail, and he says, wait a minute, this evidence comes out. He says, I was working for the CIA, I should get released. And while he's appealing, his supplier, a guy named Danilo Blandón, who was, I think the government acknowledges this. In any case, the LA Times speaks of it as though it's, you know, this is very, very solid. And no, I'm sorry, there was a government investigation that says that Blandón was connected to the Contras, Nicaraguan, the Bush-supported military people in fighting against the government of Nicaragua, that he was connected to those. Congress had cut off their money, and so they were scrambling for funds about how they were going to buy their guns and their weapons for attacking the government and people of Nicaragua. Anyhow, and so enter Danilo Blandón, who becomes the supplier for the most, for the biggest drug dealer in Los Angeles, which I believe was the major crack market in the country. But this LA Times article indicates that Ricky Ross was only part of Danilo Blandón's vast network of cocaine trading. And, right, I mean, he's dealing tons of cocaine in Los Angeles. The MENA thing that I saw said 300 pounds, and we were supposed to get excited about 300 pounds. And these guys were dealing tons every few months in Los Angeles, and that was only part of the business that Blandón was doing nationwide. Anyhow, in the drug wars, and Celia Castillo has written some stuff about this and has spoken a number of times, but if you're going to have a drug war, if you're going to make a war on the drug trade and you want to shut down the drug trade, it's very simple, it's very easy, and Castillo talks about that, and he says in an afternoon he can accomplish an enormous amount. You go out and you arrest the guy dealing on the corner, and because of the huge penalties for dealing crack that are on the federal books, you're able to threaten this guy with 40 years in prison if he doesn't cooperate. And he says that by the end of the afternoon, you will have moved four or five steps up the ladder. That is, you go and you bust his dealer, and then you make the same, except if this guy has, you know, more than a few ounces on him, he's facing life. And you make a similar deal with him. And in no time at all, you've moved yourself way up the ladder. Ricky Ross went to prison, but nobody offered him a deal to bust his supplier. His supplier being Danilo Blandón. And that's, you know, in looking at the big picture, what's wrong with this big picture, right? Supposedly there's a war on drugs going on, and the major dealer in Los Angeles gets busted. Why isn't anybody negotiating with him to try to bust his supplier? Because once you bust his supplier, then nobody in L.A. has cocaine. Nobody in the country practically will have cocaine if you can bust Danilo Blandón. But they don't. Danilo Blandón, on the other hand, is some weekend he's going to a party and he gets pulled over by some traffic cop who, I don't know why, searches his trunk and finds 2 pounds of cocaine, takes him to jail, and Danilo Blandón is now facing life. And do they go to Danilo Blandón and offer him a deal? Yes, they do. Do they offer him a deal to bust his supplier? No, they don't. That would be the standard, but that's not what they do. They go to him and they offer him a deal to bust his purchaser, to bust Ricky Ross, who got out on his appeal. And according to this LA Times article, according to the testimony of this guy from INS, who's a 26-year veteran, who says that he didn't put the information about Danilo's 2 pounds of cocaine in his file because he didn't think it mattered. If you get busted with an ounce of marijuana, you can't get a green card. And the INS agent didn't think 2 pounds of cocaine was important. He didn't put it in the file. Blandón was offered $40,000. And right, he's facing life. They could offer him a 40-year sentence. Right? You help us, and we'll reduce your sentence from life to 40 years. They offered him freedom. They gave him $40,000 and a green card, not for busting his supplier, but for busting Ricky Ross. Now, that doesn't make any sense. Well, I'm sorry. If you think that the war on drugs is about making war on the drug trade, it doesn't make any sense. If you recognize that the war on drugs is really a war on black and brown people in the inner cities of the country, well, then, oh, all right, now suddenly, of course, yeah, it makes complete sense that what you're trying to do is put the people who you have gotten hooked on this stuff into prison for long terms. Well, yeah, then, of course, then at that point, it makes enormous sense. Now, I'm a teacher in LA Unified at this time, at the height of the crack war. I'm teaching in Watts at Jordan High School. And as I said before, I'm very emotionally involved in this because of the really immediate suffering that I saw immediately at hand. I mean, I got some kid who's really, really struggling, and I call home on him, and the person who answers the phone is clearly very, very out of their head on drugs. It makes my life more difficult as well, yeah? Anyhow, when Clinton got in, it stopped cold. And, you know, I was not a fan of Clinton for any particular reason. And I'm not trying to sell anybody on Clinton. I'm trying to sell people on being skeptical about the stuff that they hear. What I know for a fact is that before Clinton got in, the drug dealers were the lords of the ghetto. And my students looked at the guys, and I can think of, you know, one particular student who's got a job at McDonald's after school, and he's driving around a little VW bug, and he's working hard, and he's trying to get good grades, and he's trying to go to college, and he's regarded as a chump, as a fool, trying to play the game straight, whereas the drug dealers are driving around in Mercedes-Benz with gold rims and, you know, dripping with gold and jewelry and all of this stuff. That was under Bush Sr. When Clinton got in, it came to a dead stop, and you would see guys who formerly were driving around in these, you know, $60,000, $100,000, $150,000 cars, now riding their little brother's bicycles down the street because they didn't have any other form of transportation than this little bicycle that's, you know, half the size that it needed to be to get them down the street. I have very, very, very strong feelings about this stuff, and this is stuff that I saw with my own two eyes. And to then try to compare a deal of 300, I mean, where's the evidence? That I have videotape of the of a guy who is Ramon Milian Rodriguez, the money launderer for the Medellin drug cartel, saying that Felix Rodriguez came to him and asked for $10 million for the Contras, and the drug dealer says, how do I know you? I don't know you. Who are you? And he says, I'm answering directly to Vice President Bush. The guy told this to PBS. It was on the Frontline series. So you can directly connect Bush by eyewitness testimony to all of this, these goings on. In addition to which, I mean, somebody's flying air transport planes into New York and Los Angeles. They're not dropping, parachuting 300 pounds into MENA in order to supply Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. They're flying, you know, C-130 transports or whatever. I ain't the technical expert, but they're flying air transport planes. They'd sell them to Nicaragua for use in forest fires, and then they'd load them up with cocaine, and that's what they ended up being used for. Anyhow, I guess I'm done, and I'm 20 minutes early.
Okay, are you giving me the floor now?
I'm giving you the floor. Let's go at it.
Okay. First of all, as far as the drug trade is concerned, with this gentleman you were speaking of, Ricky Ross and Blandone and so forth, that's one issue, and that's fine. And if it all stopped because Clinton came into power, that's fine. But from my perspective, with all due respect to you, you know, it would be a cover, because what I'm going to do, and since I've got the floor, and I would appreciate the respect from you, which I know I'll get, of not interrupting me, which I didn't do with you, except at the first part when you corrected me
and
gave you the floor. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Now, you had the first thing you mentioned, you talked about getting people to root against people, right?
Okay.
Now, when we talk about credible witnesses, I want to ask you a question. What do you consider a credible witness? Or let me rephrase the question. Would you consider a credible witness for example, a state police investigator?
Absolutely not.
How about an IRS Treasury agent?
Not unless he's talking about his own crimes. Let me put it this way. Jim Garrison, right? Jim Garrison was not serving the interests of the powers that be, and they got practically his entire staff to get up on the witness stand and confess.
All right, we've been there. All right, not about
JFK. They confess. No. I'm saying that when you put enough pressure on people in law enforcement, one is that you put enough pressure on people, and Garrison staff, who I would thought would have been loyal, all testified against him and themselves. They got sentenced to prison, and the jury said, "We don't believe any of these people, and get them out of here." I'm sorry.
That's fine. Let me stop you. Now, you just said when you put enough pressure on these people, right?
Yes.
Here's the problem. It wasn't that there was pressure being put on these people. These people, and I'm going to read them off to you, and by the way, there's a number of them as long as your arm, so I'm not going to read them
absolutely.
All.
Absolutely. No, I understand.
Okay.
The list is as long as your arm.
The former state senator and state Supreme Court Justice of Arkansas, Judge Jim Johnson, the former director of marketing for Arkansas Development Finance, ADFA,
right.
Former Arkansas investigator in charge of the Dan Lassiter case, Charlene Wilson, grand jury witness, the former physician to Hugh Rodham, Hillary's father, the Russell Welch, the Arkansas State Police investigator in charge of the MENA investigation, Bill Duncan, IRS Treasury agent in charge of the MENA investigation, Winston Bryant, Arkansas State Attorney General
Gene Duffy, the former head of the Arkansas Drug Task Force, Charles Black, Polk County Deputy Prosecuting Attorney, Larry Patterson, Arkansas Police Officer, Roger Perry, Arkansas Police Officer, Gary Parks, son of the murder victim Jerry Parks, and Representative Jim Leach, U.S. Congressman. Now, you said, well, if you put enough pressure on these people, here's the problem here, okay?
What do these people all say?
What these people are all saying, all of these people were willing to do, and I'm going to read this to you.
Okay.
On July 14th, 1994, copies of the Clinton Chronicles, which, by the way, is a transcript, and I've got it sitting right in front of me. All of these people are just some of the witnesses, okay? Copies of the Clinton Chronicles video were hand-delivered to every member of the United States Senate and the House of Representatives on July 25th. The documentation supporting the film was presented to Congress at their request. The Whitewater hearings were scheduled to begin the next morning. However, the then House and Senate majority leaders, and by the way, the Senate majority leader at that time was none other than Tom DeLay, who was later indicted for campaign finance fraud. We know that. And the House majority leader was George J. Mitchell, a Democrat from Maine, who coincidentally retired right at the end of the session. Okay. Now, they plotted with Robert Fisk, who was the Whitewater Independent Counsel, to withhold the evidence. They refused to allow any of this documentation to be admitted into evidence by all of these people. And in addition, the eyewitnesses willing to testify under oath, these people, including several more, who could confirm Clinton's involvement in the Arkansas drug smuggling, money laundering operations, were flown into Washington, but were barred from giving any testimony. Now, that's just the opening statement. Okay, the MENA drug operation, let's talk about ADFA for a minute. Okay, now you mentioned ADFA, and you said that ADFA was set up to make loans to small businesses, right?
Yes.
Remember that guy Larry Nichols that I mentioned?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Larry Nichols was the, excuse me just a minute, let me get my paperwork here. Larry Nichols was the former director of marketing for the Arkansas Development Finance Authority, ADFA. Quote Larry Nichols, if you needed $1 million, you had to get your application handled by the Rose Law Firm, pay them $50,000, and there were five other companies in the state of Arkansas that were actually more qualified in bond structuring and application, but the Rose Law Firm got them all. I started checking around and I kept asking, well, you know, one thing's bothering me, to the comptroller Bill Wilson. You know, how did people make payments on these loans? Bill Wilson looked at him and said, they don't. There was, and this is a quote of Larry Nichols, there was $100 million a month in cocaine coming in and out of MENA, Arkansas. They had a problem. They were doing so much money in cocaine, $100 million a month. You create a problem in the little state like Arkansas. How do you clean up $100 million a month? ADFA, until 1989, never banked in Arkansas. What they do is they ship the money down to Florida, a bank in Florida, which later would be connected to BCCI. You know who they are, right?
Oh, yeah.
They would ship the money to a bank in Atlanta, Georgia, which, by the way, was later connected to BCCI through investigation. They'd ship to Citicorp in New York, which would lend the money overseas. And there was an interesting one, a bank in Chicago. And that bank, by the way, was partially owned by Dan Rostenkowski. Now, do you know who Dan Rostenkowski is?
I don't remember. Who is he?
Clinton's best friend.
Okay.
Dan Rostenkowski and Clinton and his brother were best friends. Rostenkowski, Clinton, and his brother were doing cocaine. Eyewitness testimony from, Charlene Wilson, who now is sitting in jail, prison, for 30 years because the one of the drug buddies with Clinton, okay, doing Clinton with her, was promoted to prosecutor in Arkansas and set her up and busted her. She's in prison right now for 30 years, okay, for turning him in. Now, let's see. Dan Lassiter was convicted, went to prison, and guess what? Clinton pardoned him.
Right.
Now, why do you think Clinton would pardon him?
Because he was his best friend. His second best friend? His third best friend? I don't know.
Once he was convicted, he went to a minimum security prison, a Holiday Hotel. He spent 6 to 8 months and he got out. Unbeknownst to anybody, Bill Clinton, the day after he got out, granted him a full and complete pardon. So if you think Clinton's tough on crime, Okay, think about a man who pardons a man that gives cocaine to kids. And by the way, Lassiter was giving cocaine away to underage girls. He testified, and this is documented, he testified about this before a Senate or a Senate subcommittee. Did you see a copy of that copy of the transcript, or did you see a clip of the testimony?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, this is just the tip of the iceberg here. I mean, you know, if you want to go into, and by the way, this is with the utmost respect, because I honestly believe, John, you're a nice man, and I believe that you're, you know, because of your perceptions, because of your particular environment, I believe that you believe what you're saying, and that's fine. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But through the investigation that I've done, and by the way, I'm a certified private investigator, I've gone down the rabbit hole on this guy. And Bush and Clinton are buddies. They've been buddies for a long time. They vacationed together, and now you'll see them buddying together on the golf course. You'll see them doing commercials together on mainstream television. And by the way, as long as we're talking about that, you know, I was just...
I've seen it, and it scares the hell out of me, but go ahead.
All right, well, no, I was just looking in the chat room here a few minutes ago, and one of my listeners just mentioned that... you know, Bill Clinton was over in Africa with, I can't even remember the guy's name, promoting the HIV thing. But they were putting vaccine, they were putting stuff in the vaccines to, what do you call it, make women sterile. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us. We got more. I'm just starting.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We're back. My
Michael Herzog, The American Way, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, John Hanke. Now, I want to go back to ADFA for a minute, John. I've got a few minutes before we go up to the top of the hour. But you had mentioned that ADFA was this wonderful humanitarian firm that was going to lend out money to small businesses and so forth. And that's what they wanted you to think, and that's the way he sold it, okay? The first loan made at ADFA was to a place called Parkometer. Seth Ward was the owner. The secretary treasury or treasurer of Parkometer was Webster Hubble. Do you remember that name?
Sure.
Webb Hubble was Seth Ward's son-in-law. Seth Ward was the owner of ADFA. Guess who drafted the legislation creating Act 1062, which created the Arkansas Developed Finance Authority?
Webb Hubble.
Right. Guess who introduced the legislation to our legislators and got it passed through the House? Webb Hubble. Guess who got the first loan? Webb Hubble. Imagine this now. Guess who did the audit?
Says that Vince Foster was murdered? Webb Hubble. But go ahead.
Okay, well, that's good. Interesting. Guess who did the audit and the evaluation of the application? Rose Law Firm. Remember
okay.
when they were... Remember when they were shredding all the documents and there was this big hubbub in Arkansas and there was protests going on outside? Do you remember that? That was mainstream.
No.
Do you remember that?
No.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, that was mainstream news. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay, they were shredding documents. These were the documents.
Rose Law Firm was shredding documents?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. No. I have a vague recollection of that. I mean, it's a long time ago, but go ahead.
Okay. Who signed it? Webb Hubble. And Hillary Clinton. You see, that's against the law in Arkansas. You can't investigate yourself when the good faith and credit of the state of Arkansas is involved in a bond issue. He broke the law.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let's go back to Larry Nichols. This is his words. Let me tell you about Parkometer. The first loan was $2.85 million. Never a penny of that was paid back. As the newspaper...
Can you say that again?
I said, let me tell you about Parkometer.
No. How much?
$2.85 million was
that a lot of money?
It doesn't matter whether it's a lot of money or whether it's no money. It doesn't matter.
Well, see, I think it does. I think it does. But go ahead. Let me.
Why would it matter? Wait a minute. First of all, I gave you the 45 minutes uninterrupted. All right.
Yeah. No problem. Sure. Let me butt out. Let me butt out.
At the newspaper, people started inquiring about Parkometer loans. What they found was that Parkometer was actually a building retrofit nose cone compartment. The company that was being shipped to Mena, Arkansas. The nose cones were actually being used to smuggle dope back into the country. Now, this is an investigation done by all of the major newspapers down there. And what is scary, it's the same cast of characters. Webb Hubble, the Rose Law Firm, they were conspiring to defraud the state of Arkansas. Henceforth, they were shredding all the documents. The federal government, they were conspiring to... obstruct the federal government, conspired to solicit the sales of laundering of money for illegal drugs. This is your president, or this was your president. Okay? This list, and I'll tell you what, if you don't want to go in and watch the Clinton Chronicles, which documents and which videotapes the testimony of these people, I'll be happy to fax you the transcripts of this because we're not going to get through all of this today. But what I've given you here is just the smallest tip of the iceberg of a mountain of evidence that was suppressed by high-level government officials that were in office at the time. Okay, for example, this Senate subcommittee, the head of the Senate subcommittee, Tom DeLay, who was later indicted. Okay, they suppressed that evidence. All the witnesses were there just prior to the Whitewater investigations, ready to testify, and they barred them. They would not let them testify. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming up at the top of the hour. Actually, it'll be 2 minutes. Stick with us. We got more.
I paid a price.